Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda! Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast that's suitable for all ages from 2. And everything in between. I'm Tiernan, and this week, listeners, I wanted to talk to you about the list. You know, the list I sometimes mention on this show. No, not the shopping list, though I have got one of those here, and I must remember to get, let me check. Ah, yeah, 3,000 bags of green peas, a single slice of bread, and a jar of marmalade. That is very important. But I mean the other list. You know which one I mean, right? No, not my bucket list. I do have one of those as well. It just says, buy a bucket. No, hang on. That's also the shopping list. Hang on, which one's the bucket list then? Oh, yeah, yeah. It has a list of the best buckets of the year so far. Top of the list, yellow and the right size for sandcastles. Perfect. Okay, look, it's not a bucket list I have to tell you about, or a shopping list, or a checklist, which I don't use, as I always know exactly how many checks I have. And it's not a to-do list, because my to-do list only says, make sure you explain which type of list it is, and once I've managed that, I can check it off. No, wait, that's the checklist. Oh, look, I've absolutely loads and loads of lists, from list of my favourite hairstyles for a slug, all the way to a list that lists which lists I have, and which need listing. But today, I wanted to update you on the only list I usually talk about on this show. The question list. Okay, sometimes I call it a pile, a question pile. But it is kind of a list as well, because I put it in a pile and then I put it onto a list. So maybe I've never mentioned this list before because I've mentioned the question pile. But believe me, there is a question list and that's the one I'm talking about. So that's right, the list I have of all the questions you've sent in. And I know some of you have to wait a very, very long time to get your questions answered. So I thought I could just do a quick rundown of what the order of questions is so far, so that you get an idea of when yours will be answered, if you've sent one in. So this week's question is from Stinky Jack 2.0, and then next week's is going to be the one from Millie. And then, let me see here, after that is Natalie the Sheep, then Angry Stuart Pilkington. Hang on. I don't remember getting an email from them. That's a very strange name. Okay, well then after Angry Stuart Pilkington, whoever that is, it'll be questions from Ellen, Gloy5637, $, Oscar, Angry Stuart Pilkington, Angry Stuart Pilkington again, Angry Stuart Pilkington again, Angry Stuart Pilkington once more, Thomas, Ave, hang on, Angry Stuart Pilkington, 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 Anonymous and Rhino, Una, and then it says Angry Stuart Pilkington another 14 times, and then it says, I promise I'm not Angry Stuart Pilkington 5 more times, then Gavin, Angry Potato, Nina, and then Angry Stuart Pilkington 764 more times. Who is Angry Stuart Pilkington? What on earth does he want? You can't ask that many questions on this show. That is not fair. I normally say just send in one. And that's it. This list is so long that I might need to add another list to list how much room it takes up, and then another list that lists just how many times Angry Stuart Pilkington has written in. I'm not sure about this at all. It's like someone has sabotaged the list, which no one knew was a list and thought it was a pile. I need to look into this, and I'm going to find out just who this Angry Stuart Pilkington is. First, though, let me look at this list of who's sent in mail this week. Oh, I've got a lovely review on Apple Podcasts from Eloise, who says she started listening to Radio Nonsense in 2023. Thanks, Eloise. 2023 was ages and ages ago, or possibly 2 months. I'm not sure. But that is amazing. And I do hope that you've had a break since 2023 to stop listening and go to the toilet or eat a sandwich. Otherwise, that is a long time to just listen non-stop. And I'm worried your ears might fall off. Then I've had this Apple Podcast review from Girl, who says, "Hi, my mum is 100 and she's really nice. I need a pass for her to get story time. Find the kid." And then there's a lot of emojis of goats, peacocks, dodos, grandmas and one child. Well, the kid is definitely not that one child. It must be one of the goats, right? Or maybe it's a grandma who's a kid in disguise. Well, anyway, look, girl, I'm glad your mum is 100, but very nice. But she's still going to need to send proof that she's not done anything horrible like shoo a pigeon or slam a door in the face of a 99-year-old before I hand out anyone a pass. Or she could just wait a year and then she could listen when she's 101. And anyway, even though she's 100, she can still do story time, just not while listening to this podcast. I don't make the story time rules, and honestly, they'll let anyone do story time because they are pretty careless about it. If you'd like to leave a nice review for this show, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or lots of other sites. And if you do, please be careful how many stars you click, because some of you have very kindly said how much you enjoy Radio Nonsense and then only given it 1 or 2 stars, which means other people will think it is rubbish, and that is not fair. So if you do a review, please kindly click the 4 or 5 stars, or magically 6, 7 stars, or just put a real star on there from the universe, and then everyone will be able to see it. And actually, it might melt the podcast sites. Don't do that. If you have a question you want to send in so I can add it to the list once I've removed Angry Stuart Pilkington, then please ask your hairbrained clunkheads, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. And it is now too late to enter the InvisiDog competition. I will announce the winners to that next week, and then there will be a new competition in 2 weeks' time. If your harebrained clunkheads, sorry, I mean grown-ups, would like to help support this show, then they can sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition, which is just like this one, but with no adverts, and it comes out a whole day earlier, and that's all for a small fee on Apple Podcasts, Acast, or Spotify. Do also check out comedyclubforkids.co.uk for all of our live shows, and check out the other kids' podcast I do, Bust or Trust, a kids' mystery podcast. What's that about? Well, you're going to hear an advert for it right about now.
Are you mystified by mysteries?
Or can you crack the craziest cases?
We're looking for chief detectives to join us on our investigations into some of the strangest stories from around the world.
We'll analyse aliens, look for the Loch Ness Monster and hunt out curses. We'll present you with the best evidence and the most interesting facts.
And then it'll be up to you to decide and tell us what you think.
Will you be a myth buster like me?
Or a myth truster like me?
If you want to be our chief detective, join us on Bust or Trust, a kids' mystery podcast. Every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and all other places you listen to podcasts.
And we've just very excitingly done a crossover episode with the Koala Moon podcast, if you want to fall asleep to me talking nonsense, which apparently some of you do anyway, so maybe you don't need that. Right, I need to work out just who this angry Stuart Pilkington is, and while I do, you listen to this most importantest bit.
What do you want to be when you grow up? What's the right tip?
Yes, joining me today on Radio Nonsense is the brilliant Ian Billings, a.k.a. Ian. At night you'd have trouble trying to see him, a.k.a. Ian Jimin Billingstone, Grand Juggler of the Telephone, or as all of your dolphin listeners know you, Not very good at dolphin sounds, but that is what they know you by. But of course, Ian, you are very well known for your campaign to have gibberish recognised as an official language, for your successful attempts to flip a pancake by keeping the pan completely still and flipping yourself around it, and most famously for your GNU Canoe activity group encouraging African antelopes to go whitewater rafting. Ian, it's a joy to have you on the show. How are you doing?
As we say in gibberish. And I don't need to tell you all what that means.
I would love to study gibberish. I've heard bits of it. I think I've accidentally spoken bits of it, but I'm not expert in it at all.
Do you not gibber? Are you not a gibberer? I was told specifically you were experiencing gibbering and gibberish. The lady phoned me up the other day and said, she blah, 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 tenen. She shabbat the papa. So I just presumed I was going to come and talk. Well, I'm very disappointed that you don't gibber. Is there anybody who can gibber on your behalf?
I can give it a go. I've learned little bits. I've done sort of a beginner's course, so I can go blah, 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 or scabadoo. But
be careful.
Yes, sorry.
You know what that means? Yes, it's children listening. Be careful.
Yes. So it was these sort of important words where, you know, if I need to get by, where to go there on holiday.
Well, exactly. I mean, not many people go to Jibber anymore, which is very disappointing. The whole load of gibberish tourist agents trying to get people going to Jibber. The signs say, come to Jibber, you'll learn to blitch. Or you could. And people, you know, people don't go. I don't get it. It's a strange world, isn't it? Because these beautiful places of Jibber that people could go to, and they miss out on this wonderful opportunity. But there we are. So I can't talk gibberish, can I?
I'm so sorry about that, Ian. And you know, and I know it's one of the things that you are absolutely so expert in, and we really, you know, there aren't enough gibberish podcasts about, if you ask me. There's too many.
I've got
like
a degree.
This.
I've got an exam. I've got an exam in it. I've got a certificate. I've got a certificate. In gibberish, yes, which is easy for me to say. So I guess we can't talk gibberish, but we can talk pancakes.
We can.
Can we talk pancakes?
Always. I'm very happy to talk pancakes.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, I've bought about 57 different varieties of pancakes to show you, because this is visual, isn't it? We're doing this.
I'm so sorry, Ian. It's also audio. It's a complete audio podcast. I mean, I did notice all the pancakes around you, and I just assumed that was your day-to-day pancake stance.
No. So maybe if I held one of the pancakes up to the microphone and squeezed it, would that?
That would be lovely. Yes, maybe that's okay. A great way to do it. Mm.
So this is a 4B pancake, as you can see me obviously, but I'll hold this up to the microphone. This is a 4B pancake. Did you get that?
Wow. Yes. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
But compare that to the 37A, which I have. Got bendy on the edges there. Let me just hold that up to the microphone. You hear the difference?
That is a fascinating sounding pancake. Why does it sound like that? What's it made with?
Well, because it's a 47. No, you have to squeeze it. And there's a trick to squeezing these things. You don't just become a pancake squeezer overnight. You have to spend a lot of time learning how to squeeze a pancake, which I think I'm quite adept at after all these years of squeezing pancakes. And because of them, I won't go into the details, obviously, because you get very, very bored. But all the ingredients made up in a certain way do create a different kind of sound, different audio response for the pancake. So that's the largest pancake. That's the medium pancake. Can I hold that to the microphone?
Yes, please do. Please do. This is fascinating. Yeah.
Can you see the difference between the three?
I absolutely can. Can I ask, is there, because obviously they're pancakes, but have you made these in different pans, different types of pan?
Of course, yes. Oh, no, because you have different pans for different sizes of pancakes. I've got a whopping great pancake pan downstairs. Huge thing. And then you have the little ones about the size of an apricot.
Sure, but they're still all pans, so you can't make like a wok cake, can you? Is that such a thing, or is that a...
I think you're just being silly now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I know it's a very professional thing. I didn't mean to sort of offend with...
No, I've come here with good intentions. I can't talk gibberish, and you're just mocking my pancake intentions. So I think we should move on to the third item we're here to talk about, shall we? Which is the white water rafting.
Well, I mean, I'm very happy to keep talking. You know, pancakes are very, very important to me. I didn't mean to sort of insult you about that. But, I mean, I am also intrigued by your canoe...
I'll tell you another interesting thing about pancakes people don't talk about these days is Antarctic pancakes.
Antarctic pancakes?
Antarctic pancakes. You try saying Antarctic pancakes.
Antarctic pancakes. Is that part of gibberish, or is that just, that's an actual...
No, that's just me.
Right.
And Antarctic pancakes you will find usually made specifically in the Antarctic, which is the one down there, isn't it? Not the one up there.
Yes, there's the one down there, not the one up there. The one with the penguins, not with the polar bears.
That's the one, because polar bears couldn't make a pancake, could they? That'd be ridiculous.
No.
But
no.
a well-trained penguin with a low Calagas burner and a very small apricot-sized pancake saucepan can make some amazing pancakes. Have you ever seen a penguin toss a pancake?
I have not, but they've got flippers, haven't they?
Yes. So they're not tossing, they're flipping.
Hmm. So they are expert. So that is what the flippers were, because they can't fly. So I did wonder what they used those flippers for.
Yeah, and what would you do? You can't fly. So you make a pancake. Mm. In fact, many of them are not called penguins. They're called penguins specifically because
penguins.
They flip pancakes with their little ditty flippers.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that about penguins. Is that the same as and again, you know, I'm just curious here. Is that the same with pangolins?
What? Sorry.
Pangolins, are they also experts in pancakes, or is that a different...
No, I think you got very confused here, and I really don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, right, I'm sorry, right, it's just the penguins, right, sure.
No, never mind. Good.
I feel like we've got off on the wrong
foot. Really fascinating thing about penguins.
Yes.
Because they've got little flippers.
Yes.
Yeah. They can't clap their hands when they go to the opera.
Wow. Do they flip pancakes? What do they do instead to show their appreciation?
Well, I don't know if you've seen many operas, but if sometimes the Royal Opera House does a special night just for penguins, thousands of them. And, you know, it could be Tosca, could be Carmen, could be Merchant of Venice, who knows? But they'll be sitting there, huge, huge, massive opera, brilliant effects, crescendo, huge. And at the end, the opera singers stand there. What do they get? Nothing. Wow. Absolute silence. Not a single clap from a single flipper from a single penguin, or indeed penguin. Nothing. Wow. So that we have to teach the opera singers to understand that the penguins do things differently. Mm. So when we're trying to teach the penguins to do something more audible, orally. So when they come to the end of the opera, you'll hear 2,000 penguins going,
Right, that's lovely. That is lovely.
Isn't it? Yeah, I think it's a beautiful moment. They just do it once, of course, because it hurt their little throat.
Yes, of course, of course. I mean, I would have thought that, you know, penguins are a very appreciative sort of creature. They're not presenting the opera singers with pancakes at the end. There must be other ways that they show their, before they were making this noise, which obviously is a wonderful way to do it. There must have been other ways the opera singers perhaps knew later on. Oh, well, I've been given a beautiful pancake or a bucket of fish. Clearly it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah, and if the penguins really got their acts together, which they'd ever do, they could slap each other's hands, couldn't they? Slap each other's flippers.
Yes. Yes.
Turn around, your mate on the side. Have a good slap. Have a good flip. Oh, no, they don't think of that. Self, self, self. That's penguins for you.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry, I got a bit bitter then, didn't I? Shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I thought you were quite favourable to penguins at first, especially with their kind of pancake thing. But clearly they've wronged you at some point in the past.
I could tell you some stories.
Are you going to? No.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's penguins for you. Well, but you were going to ask me about the wildebeest, weren't you?
Well, only because it's something that, you know, you're probably most famously known for, really, Ian. It's you know, it's fascinating. A lot of people do know you for gibberish. A lot of people do know you for pans. But I think everybody knows you because you've spent quite a lot of time getting these canoes on canoes.
OK, I'll tell you about the penguins. It's a horrible, sad story, but I've got to get it off my chest, OK? I once fell in love with a penguin.
Oh.
I don't know what happened. We just clicked.
It's a beautiful
story. Wait a minute, was it a dolphin? Was it a penguin? What's the difference between a penguin and a dolphin?
The little
penguin's
beaks.
Born with the little holes in the heads. Is that the penguin with the little hole in the head?
No, I think only if they've had an accident.
Oh, this time I'm getting confused.
Yeah,
I think I owe an apology to a penguin or indeed a dolphin. Anyway, let's go. You were going to talk to me about the wildebeest. Can we get on with this, please? Because you keep sort of going off on.
Sure, I'm so sorry, Ian. It's you know, and if you need to slip into gibberish, you just go for it. I'm sure we can find a translator at a later stage for this podcast.
Oh, fabulous! We might do some later on. That'd be good.
Yes, please.
I could sing my little gibberish song.
And you got a gibberish song.
Well, everybody's got a gibberish song. Okay, I'll do this for you now. Okay, and then we'll do the proper question.
Okay, sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
This is my little gibberish song. Are you ready? I've not done this for ages. Okay, I'll do a bit of a vocal warm up. There we go. Right, I'm ready. And this is my little gibberish song.
Oh, that's beautiful.
No, I've not finished.
Wow. Wow.
Is it beautiful?
Is it finished now?
Yeah,
it's great. And
always brings a little tear to my eye, especially the at the end.
I was going
to
say, it's very beautiful, very moving, very moving song. Yeah.
It moved me. I was over there before.
Well, I did notice. Yes, yes. Well, listen, Ian, this is so fascinating having you on the show. And you know, obviously, I asked an expert like yourself to be on Radio Nonsense because we have got a question that I do think you are the person that can answer it. Whether or not you answer it in English or gibberish is going to be up to you.
Okay.
But before I ask you this question, I've got a couple of admin questions that I need to ask, and I wonder if how you feel about admin questions.
How do I feel about them? Well. Yes, I get asked a lot of admin questions. And one of the main questions I ask in response to the admin questions is, what is an admin question? You know, not many people can answer that. So I've asked it many, many times. And a lot of people who ask me these admin questions don't know what an admin question is, despite the number of times I've asked them, what is an admin question? So
yes.
I'm going to start I'm going to preface your admin question with a question, what is an admin question?
Yeah, well, normally it's one that people file away for later. But in
Isle
this
away.
Case, yeah, I'd say that you probably want to file away for later. But in this case, it was filed away some years ago, so I need to bring them out now and ask you today.
Okay.
Is that okay? Yes. Okay.
What was it filed? What was it filed under?
Was it
under the letter A, B, C? I could go on. D.
Yep.
E.
No, it was the bit at the end. It was the bit after Z when there's just a sort of funny symbol because no one knows what to do.
Oh,
with
I like that one.
Yes.
That's my favourite.
Yes,
one.
That one. And the one where you, when you open it, there's often like a pot plant in there or some other things that people didn't know what to do with. Yes.
That makes me happy.
Yes. Good. Well, good. I hope you like the questions too. There's two of them. They're very important.
Oh, good. Right.
So please do take your time if you need to think about these. But the first one
how much time am I allowed to take? Because I'm going away on Sunday.
Right.
And I'd like to have it done sort of before Sunday. But I could come back and answer it on Monday.
Yeah, that's fine. So you're only going away on Sunday for Sunday, so you are back on Monday. Yeah, in which case you can take... you can skip a few days. You know, have the weekend to think about it if you really need.
Okay.
But you see how you go. When you hear them, you may have already answered them yesterday.
Oh, actually, yes. I may have done. Shall I have a quick look at my diary?
Yes, have a little check.
Oh, no, I was at my mother's yesterday.
Right. Possibly not then. Well, let me give you the first one and we'll see where you can fit it in your schedule. The first question, Ian, is quite simply, what is this?
Ah, what is that? Mm. Well, it's about 5 inches tall. It's blue and it's got a little handle on the side that goes when you turn it. Mm. And it answers to the name of Claude.
Oh, that's lovely. That's
Isn't
nice.
It?
Have you encountered Claude before then?
No, I wouldn't want to go anywhere near a Claude. That would be mad. That would be dangerous.
Right.
Don't forget, I told you it had a little handle on the side that goes... Those are to be avoided at all times. If you're lying in bed late one night and it's silent outside and you suddenly hear... Run. Run for the hills, run for the clouds, run for the monkeys, because there's a Claude coming to you, get you, and you might get clawed by Claude.
Well, I'm slightly worried because I'm asking you because I've had it here now for at least a week.
Oh,
and I should have got rid of it very quickly.
You know what you should have done?
What?
You know what you need to do?
What?
And I'd advise you to do it straight after we've done this. Put a bucket over it.
Right. I will do that. Any particular type?
Put a bucket over it. Big bucket.
Big bucket. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Big bucket with a handle.
But not a handle that goes...
Not a handle that goes...
Yeah.
No, a handle that goes handle.
Right. Okay. That's good to know.
Yep.
It's good to know.
Good. I think that sorted that question out.
Sorted it. Is that kind of health and safety expertise that you know we need on this show? Because I think accidents could happen if you hadn't been here.
Health and safety, very, very important. Do you want to know where the fire exits are?
I do. Yes.
Over there.
Great. That's very useful to know.
Okay.
It's very useful to know.
Good. We're whipping through these questions.
We are whipping through these questions.
So good. Well,
I've got one more admin question, which I think this one might take a bit more time. So I hope that's all right. You answered that one very quickly.
I've got a bag of time under the chair I could use.
Okay.
A big bag of time.
Let me try this one on you then. Ian, would you rather that every time you spoke, a swarm of bees appeared and interrupted you, or every time you tried to sleep, a wolf snuck into your home and howled by your ear?
That's a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably the 12th person to ask me that today.
Wow.
It's interesting, isn't it? I was just in the baker's earlier today and she said exactly the same to me.
Right.
And then gave me a bun.
That's nice.
So would I prefer the bees or the wolf? Wolf or bees? Bees or wolf? Ooh.
But the bees interrupt you when you talk. The wolf just annoys you when you sleep.
Oh, so God, can you imagine that? Mm. Interrupted when you talk. I can't. Mm. Can you imagine that, Ian? Somebody talking to you and you can't get a word in. That'd be awful. Can you imagine? What could you do? You could make a podcast all about. But all these bees, how many bees are we talking?
A whole swarm. What's a swarm?
A flock? A flock of bees?
A flock of bees. Yeah.
A flock of bees.
Which is
more than seven?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So if we had a flock of more than seven bees, I would find that really irritating. Because you may not have noticed, but I do like to talk. I know I'm being quite sad and restrained at the moment, but I do like to witter. Witter and chunter and gibber. And were a flock, a herd, or indeed a swarm of bees to interrupt me, I would be severely miffed. I would be miffed times 100.
But do you think you'd not get Megamyth. Used to the sound? Because it can be quite a sort of soothing sound, can't it, bee sounds? Maybe to have that in the background while you talk might make people quite calm when they're talking to you.
No, you wouldn't calm down. You say, "There's a great big bee."
That's true. Yes, yes.
Because bees are almost as big as an aircraft, aren't they? Sort of 747 bees. Are we talking about the same insect, aren't we?
I was going for the smaller bees, the smaller bee variety, not the bee aircraft carriers, not the
biddy bees. Yeah. You're talking about biddy bees.
Mm-mm.
Biddy bees, yeah, they're quite small. But you know, a good flock of those could really put you off your aim halfway through a spiel, halfway through a lecture. I could be at the University of Cambridge. I could be doing a wonderful lecture on the structure of DNA when suddenly all over the place. That all of my little notes. It could be interfering with my little clicker to change my pictures. You know what bees are like.
It would be incredible, but then you see you've got to balance that with every time you go to sleep, a wolf comes and howls by your ear, and I like sleep a lot, so I don't think I'd want that.
What size wolf are we talking?
Medium rare.
Medium rare. See, that's not too bad. That doesn't bother me too much because I've got a cat.
Okay.
I'm used to that size. But if it was a whopping wolf as opposed to a biddy bee or a biddy bee, that would really spook me. Mm. And I don't like being spooked because I'm there at night, you know, just relaxing, thinking happy thoughts, merry thoughts, clouds, rainbows, unicorns, Eskimos, those kind of things, fluttering through my head in merriment. And then suddenly, that's how a wolf sounds. And that'll put you off your dream, wouldn't it? So this is the question. Do you want to be put off your dream or put off your speech?
Mm. What's your preference? Yeah. What do you prefer?
Dilemma. My preference is not to have either of them because I don't like the bees or the wolves.
Yeah, I'm afraid that this is one of these important admin questions that you have to make a choice.
Could I swap the wolf for a chaffinch?
I mean, probably on weekends. I doubt the wolf would want to do it every night without some time off.
No, you don't want a pooped wolf, do you?
No, absolutely not a pooped wolf.
No, chaffinch would be good. I'd be happy with a chaffinch. I think a chaffinch, because chaffinch just go chaff, 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 don't they? They're very little happy little chappies, the chaffinch. Yeah, I'd settle for a chaffinch. Oh, okay. Wait a minute, sorry, I'm just assuming I could have a chaffinch.
Yeah, but would you take the wolf if it was 5 days a week and a chaffinch on weekends?
Yes, I think I'd settle for
it. I think that's a fair option. I think that's a fair option, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm concerned what happens to the bees now.
They're going to go and bother someone else.
They have to go to the unemployment centre and sign on.
I think what you want to do is if you listen to the radio, next time you hear a radio presenter talking in the background, it's zzz, then they've gone to bother that person instead.
Got to be a radio announcer.
Or on the news, something like that.
Yeah,
that'd be fine.
I'm glad they keep themselves occupied.
Yes, yes. Don't worry about it. If they're not going to bother you, if you don't want them, you know, they understand. They don't take rejection that kindly, but they'll go and find someone else to bother, as I said, probably
that's good.
Radio presenter or newsreader or something, or a teacher maybe, so, you know.
I don't want to fall out long term with a bee.
Yeah, no, who does?
Make me happy. I think we should all live happily together.
That's nice.
Except the bees can go away.
Thank you, Ian. You answered those questions amazingly. I have to say,
I did, I didn't hiccup once. Did you notice that?
I did notice that actually. I did notice. You didn't, really you didn't fart either. You managed to get through all of it without any sort of bodily sounds.
I don't fart. I have a little man who comes and does that for me.
Right, that's nice.
But I've been known to hiccup on occasions in the middle of an interview. So luckily, that's not happened so far.
That is very good. How do you hire someone to come and fart on your behalf? Is that?
Oh, you don't hire them. They just come the same size every time.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
If I hired them, there'd be a little handle on the side that went.
And then they're dangerous.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then they do my farting for me. They charge a lot of money, though. I mean, it's about £10 a boff.
Is that because of deflation?
Mm, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
I can only afford a professional buffer once a week.
Yes, but then that sort of allows you save them up, and then you get them to come for a very important hour.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And once you've seen a professional buffer buff, you'll never want to buff again.
Yes. Yes.
They're proper buffers. They're trained.
I bet.
There's a buff school. There's a little buff school where they go.
Wow. Wow,
and you wouldn't want to go there yourself. It's a bit whiffy, but you know.
I was going to say, really smell different. Yeah. And I guess they sort of do different classes, different type of historical ones and geographical ones. Yeah,
all manners of whopping. There's a whole new podcast of whopping to talk about. Don't get me started on whopping.
Well, it may come. I have to say, it may come into our last script because the reason I've got you here, and you know, and again, I'm very grateful that you had time to come on the show with everything that you do. But I have had this question sent in, And this question has come from someone who calls himself Stinky Jack 2.0. So I just want you to know they're not the first Stinky Jack. They're like an upgraded version of Stinky good. Jack. Yeah, that is good. We don't want the original version. A lot of bugs.
We don't want a beta. We want the full thing, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The new upgraded Stinky Jack 2.0, who says they are one decade old, which is
happy
very
birthday.
Happy to know. Yes, very
one
happy
decade,
birthday
the big 1.0.
Yes, yes. It's got to be hard having a birthday just once a decade. You've got a really long time to
wait.
Only
once a decade.
Yeah.
Hey, your cake could go mouldy.
Yes. Yes, that's true, actually.
You'd run out of puff. You blow your little candle. You have to wait another 10 years before you blow it out again.
Maybe you get a really big candle, like a really, really big candle. And
maybe that'll last a little bit longer. Yeah, that'd be very boring.
That would be.
So would you be one every 10 years then?
Yeah. Yes, you would, yeah.
And you'd have to... It'd be 60 Earth years before you got six. You'd have to be 100 before you were 10.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd be an old folks home surrounded by these people who are 100 in the real world, and you'd be 10 sitting there in your pants playing your Nintendo Game Boy, whatever the young people do these days, and surrounded by people who are just dribbling and boffing.
Or is the other way around. You'd be technically 100 years old, but you'd be at school because you're only 10. And so you're surrounded by all these kids running around, and all you're thinking is, I just want some quiet. I'm basically 100.
All these people. These little old man or woman in the back of the class saying, oh, yes, my favourite subject's history. I remember most of it. Oh, that'd be sweet, wouldn't it?
It feels like a not ideal situation either way, I think, you know.
It's not ideal. Well, no. I'm very grateful my birthday isn't one every 10 years because that would just confuse me, as indeed I'm probably confusing you by talking about it and all that maths is involved.
It's very confusing. I have my, like everyone else, every single month, at least twice a month. And
it's
that's
the best.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Best way to do it. Yeah. Well, listen, Stinky Jack has asked this question, which I presume they've got a lot of questions when they're only one years old. They're only one, but they're 1 decade old. And this question is, as I said, this may bring into your professional buffing companion. But the Stinky Jack has asked, if we have wind socks, why don't we have wind pants?
That's a very good question. And a lot of people have asked me this. In fact, the baker today asked me that very same question just after she took the bun back and said, get out of my shop.
Wow.
Why are there wind socks? Yeah, it's a long story. I don't want to talk about the baker.
Sure, okay.
There's so many, there's history. And don't start me on the butcher. And as for that candlestick maker, you can forget him.
Wow.
He can boff off.
Wow.
So they're wind socks and why are they wind socks, but they're not wind pants? Mm. Okay, that's the question. Okay, so are you sitting comfortably?
Very, very comfortably, yes.
Good, good. I was just wondering. It's nothing to do with the answer. I was just wondering.
It's very kind of you to check, yeah.
Yeah, so wind socks are those socks that you wear sometimes when it's windy. And it's been very windy recently, hasn't it? And it's been blowing things all over the place. It was very windy on Wednesday. Do you notice Wednesday was particularly windy? A windy Wendy Wednesday.
Wednesday. Mm. Wendy Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and this is because too many people were wearing their wind socks. Okay. So you wear your wind socks, you go out and you create a lot of wind and people go, where's all that wind coming from? And it's obviously Jocelyn's fault this year because she's the one who's been creating the most wind.
Yes.
With all her friends creating all this wind that's been out there blowing things all over the place. So don't wear your wind socks at the same time as somebody next door. Always check, look at your register, look at your chart, look at your schedule to where you wear your wind socks. So we have wind socks because they create a lot of wind. Right. Sometimes we need a lot of wind. Sometimes we need to boff. That's just life. But why were there no wind? What was the question?
Why are there no wind pants?
Why are there no wind pants? A lot of people have asked this question many, many times. The answer is very simple. Once you've got wind socks, okay, and you've got obviously got the matching wind gloves that go with them and the wind hat and the wind little scarf, wind pants would just be too much. You can't have too much wind. Because of the climate change at the moment, there's so much wind going on. If you had more wind garments, more wind accoutrement, it would just cause a terrible, terrible stirring up of wind all around the world.
Wow.
So you have to wear, and that's why a lot of people wear wind nightshirts at night when they're in the other side of the world, in India and Australia, for example, because you get a little bit of wind to wake you up in the morning, and then you put your full wind clothes on. But on the other side of the planet, everybody's wearing wind clothes when that's why it's so windy. So wear your wind socks sparingly and wear your spare wind socks sparingly too. Your spare wind socks. That was not easy to say. You
said
that.
Your spare wind. You said spare wind clocks, which I think that tells you what time the wind's going to be. It's a very, very different thing. Very difficult to wear those as well. Yes.
Exactly.
Where you could,
That could just be a bit of a wind up.
Yeah. So wear your spare wind socks. Wear your spare wind socks sparingly.
Try it again.
Wear your spare wind socks sparingly.
Okay, everybody home who's listening, wear your. Oh, I can't do it. Wait a minute. Let me try a different mouth. Wear your spare wind socks sparingly. Is that right?
Yes.
Wind socks sparingly. Everybody at home, wear your spins. Oh.
Wear your spin socks wearingly. Yes.
Bin your swear socks.
Don't wear your swear socks. Swear. Especially not for this podcast. We will be in a lot of trouble. So, yes.
Naughty swearing socks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I think that really clarifies everything.
It really does. And I have to say, it was quite a surprise to me as well. There was a bit of me that suspected, because I had no clue on this, I'll be honest, but I did wonder if they were called wind. You know, we don't have wind pants, because technically all pants are windy at some point, because they're around your bum. And I didn't know if it was almost too obvious, but you've got a more professional explanation, which I think is much more interesting.
I didn't want to bring boffing into this. No, that's
Of course.
That's a whole different podcast, or boffcast, if you want to.
Yes, yes. And no one wants to listen to that. It's
exactly. Nobody in their right mind.
Yes. I suppose I should just check where your spare wind socks sparingly. What is that in gibberish?
Socks. A sock is. No. Oh, sorry. I think I've just sworn. Wait a minute. Oh yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah? Just in case we've got any gibberish listeners tuning in, because I know you're on the show, you know, we want them to get the message too. Well, listen, that's Ian, good. Thank you. You know, what an incredible answer. And you've given an incredible answer to everything so far. It's lovely to have you on the show and deliver such a level of expertise. What have you got coming up? More sort of pancake activity, gibberish campaigning?
I've got the Pancake Olympics, obviously, coming up. That's a big event in Sweden in October. I'm looking forward to that. There's a whole the British Pancake Olympic team will be over there, so fingers crossed for that. Obviously there's my new gibberish book coming out, which I'm very excited about. That's called it's good, isn't it? It's a lovely title, actually.
And is that going to be available at all good bookshops, or just gibberish speaking ones?
No, it'd just be available at a lot of very bad bookshops. And that's all I'm doing. And the rest of the time, I'm just going to sit in the airing cupboard with a flannel on my head.
Sounds lovely. Well, I hope you have a fantastic time in the airing cupboard.
Cheers, mate. Thank you for listening. Those of you who are listening. If you're not listening, then...
You have a pet. You have a sweet tooth. You believe in the power of a curse.
Thanks so much to Ian Billings for having time to answer Stinky Jack 2.0's question in between talking nonsense and going canoeing with Ganooing. Canoeing with Ganoos? Canoes with Ganoos. Anyway, Stinky Jack 2.0, I do hope you liked your answer. And if not, why not attach any complaints you have to a pair of wind socks that aren't attached to anything, and they'll blow away and I'll never have to read them. If you have any questions that you need to have answered, then please do get your harebrained clunkheads, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. And if they fancy signing up to the Linda edition for a small fee too, then it supports me making this silly show, and you'll get it advert-free and a day earlier too. Do also check out comedyclubforkids.co.uk and the Bust or Trust, a kids' mystery podcast, which I write and co-host as well. Okay, so while you were listening to that most important bit, I've been investigating Angry Stuart Pilkington. And it turns out, when you look on the internets, he is known for this. He's a real troublemaker. Apparently he goes around sending in too many questions to podcasts and ruining their question list, which is not on. So I've turned up like an investigative journalist to his house at 37B Stupido Lane to ask him exactly why.
Hello, who is it?
It's Tiernan from Radio Nonsense. You've got some questions to answer about why you keep having so many questions that you need to answer.
You! Answer my questions, you horrid meanies!
You've sent in so many questions, it's knocking other people's questions off my list. So why do you keep doing that?
Which list? Shopping list? To-do list? Oh, maybe it's your checklist.
No, my question list. Hang on, was that your question?
No, how dare you? I have so many questions and no one tells me anything. I just want someone, anyone, to answer my questions, and I'll keep sneaking in questions to their question pile or list or whatever they call it until they do.
Well, that's not very nice. You can't just barge in with all your questions. Other people have questions that they need answering too, and they've sent them in.
Like what?
Let me have a look. Where is Rochdale?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I know, right? How about I answer a question of yours now, and then you leave my question list slash pile alone forever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah, okay. Which question to ask you, though? Oh, I know. Does my knees look big in this?
No. You don't seem to have any knees.
Oh, great. I'll buy it then. Thanks, I'll stop bothering you now. Go away and never come back.
Perfect. Ah, brilliant. And now to check the list. The pile list. You know which one. Yes, Angry Stuart Bilkington's questions have all been removed. And that means I can go back to looking at all my other lists, like the important one, the shopping list. Let me see. What was it I had to get again? 3,000 bags of green peas, a single slice of bread, a jar of marmalade, Angry Stuart Pilkington, Angry Stuart Pilkington, frozen Angry Stuart Pilkington, and a pot of Angry Stuart Pilkington. What? No! Bye!
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense, radio nonsense. It's the